Things have kind of changed a little bit this morning. We started a little bit late, and it's just great to have Stephen and Charity share what God's doing in that part of Africa. And I love hearing the impact that they're having and that we are able to be a part of that. Because just so you know, we support them as missionaries there. And so as you give to Emmaus, your giving goes to support these kind of mission work. So, but with all that said, I'm going to hit the edit button a little bit on what I'm going to do this morning. And so, Corey, you're just going to have to follow me when it comes to scriptures, because I don't know where I'm going at this point yet. But it won't be according to the outline. But God has a plan. So let's pray, and then we'll jump into this. God, thank you again for loving us. Thank you that this walk with you is moment by moment, day by day. You have a plan, and you unfold it before us. God, it's up to us to stay in step with that plan, to listen to your voice, to be led by your Spirit. That's each of us as individuals. That's as we live this out in our daily lives. It's as we gather together as a church. And so, God, I pray that you would fill us, that you would lead us, that you would draw us closer and closer to you, that Jesus would be glorified this morning, that we would make much of him, and God, that as we center around the cross, that our lives would be changed, and in some way it would have an impact on changing this world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we are going to share communion in a little bit, which is one of the reasons why time is a little shortened, and I certainly don't want to sacrifice that time. It's a time for us to gather together to remember the real world-changing event when Jesus stepped out of heaven, came to earth, gave his life for the sins of the world, body broken, real pain experienced, blood shed for your sin, for the sin of the world. And so a little later when we take that bread, I want us to be mindful of that. The life-changing, world-changing power of God expressed in Jesus. Jesus died, but he rose. After he rose, he ascended. So he is alive. And because Jesus is alive and he is still the living water, he gives living water to those who follow him. He says, if you come to me, living streams of living water will flow out of you. He says, I am the bread of life. You know, he gives life. And because he's alive, we should be alive. Amen? And I don't know where you're at today. I don't know how much life you're experiencing, but I know that God wants his followers to experience life and life to the full. We're in a series right now, which I'm only going to be able to scratch the surface of the passage we're going through. We're going through the book of 1 Corinthians, and we are calling this We Are the Church. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, a gathered group of people who are following Jesus, filled with his Spirit, and he's writing to them. And these, like everybody else, like all of us in this room, this group of people, they all have issues, right? We talked about this last week. We all have issues. God's still at work. But we read the first three verses. So last week, we got through three verses of chapter one. So we may be in 1 Corinthians till like Jesus returns. I don't know, but it's gonna, you know, but we're gonna bite this off in chunks. But when Paul writes, he goes, you know, he's thanking God for the Corinthians, and he says, you know, you are God's called out people, holy unto God, and being made holy. So there's this sense that in Jesus, our sin has been cleansed by his blood, and we're holy in God's sight, but yet we're being made holy. God's still working on us. We're all a work in progress. And we are the church. And I've said it before, as we go, so the church goes. So don't think that you're just some individual sitting out there. We're all ambassadors of Christ. He works in and through us, and we are the church. Okay, so Paul is writing to this church in Corinth, and they've got all kinds of issues. Immorality is present in the church. People are having the Lord's Supper, like they're having a big meal and then breaking bread and remembering the supposed to remember the sacrifice of Jesus. They're getting drunk. People are just, they're just, you know, hoarding the food. I mean, it's craziness going on there, okay? So this is what's happening in this church, this gathered group of people, and look at how Paul addresses them. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 1, verses 4 through 17. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and all kinds of knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await our Lord Jesus to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household, have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this: one of you says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, and another, I follow Cephas, still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the house of Stephanus. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. I just love that. It's like Paul could have just erased that, right? And then just fixed it, but he left it in there. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. And let me just start with that. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, the good news, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Paul relied on one thing, and that was the power of the cross. He relied on the power and the truth of the gospel, that Jesus came, that he died, that the shedding of his blood meant something, that there was resurrection power displayed in the resurrection of Jesus. And when he ascended and the Spirit came, it really changed lives of people. He was a testimony of that, a living testimony of that. So he's like, listen, I'm not coming at you with great stories and illustrations and lights and fog and all of these things. I'm going to come to you with one thing. And it's the power of the cross, because Jesus changed my life and he can change yours too. And that's not just, hey, those of you who aren't saved or don't know Jesus, here's a message for you. No, that's all of us. See, the power of the cross, the resurrection power, is available to all of us. You may have followed Jesus 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and you're a Christian. And when I asked you this morning, are you alive? Are you experiencing that fullness of life? You're going, you know, you breathe in the mirror and you see some fog and you're going, yeah, I'm alive, but man, I don't feel alive. Jesus came to give life and give it to the full. And so Paul goes, listen, there's a fullness of life that's available to you. This isn't just church talk. This is reality. Why don't we experience it? Maybe we're so caught up, so distracted by this world that we forget that his kingdom supersedes this kingdom. And our life in Christ has a lot more meaning than just gathering on a Sunday morning in this place that we call church. It's every day seeking him and experiencing that life-changing power that he and only he can give through his Spirit to his people who are his body and his voice, his mouthpiece to the world. Because you never know when you might hear that call. We have to be listening. Whether it's go, like a Stephen and Charity were called to go, whether it's give, whether it's you need to change that, or in this case, where he goes, this big issue, there's all this division within the church, and he goes, man, you got to be united in mind and spirit. You're supposed to be representing Jesus, who, if there's one word that would represent Jesus, I think it would be love. And if we're loving one another, we're not going to be divided. And yet the church here that Paul is writing to is so divided. He goes, listen, all I have is to bring to you the gospel. The gospel can change your heart. The gospel can change your life. The power of Jesus can get through all of that division. If you surrender your heart to him, he can help you work through that. I cannot will myself to do good. All right? It's one of the big problems with a lot of addicts is they try to do better. I'm just going to change. And what they're taught, even in Alcoholics Anonymous, even when they take God out of it, it's like you can't do it on your own. Let me just tell you this. You can't do life on your own. You might not be an addict, but you can't change on your own. You can't will yourself to do good. So what do? As believers and followers of Jesus who believe in this resurrection power, well, then I surrender to him. When he puts that spotlight on something that's going on in my life or maybe the way I'm treating people, whatever it might be, I surrender that to him and go, God, I can't change this, but I need you to change this. And I make that, you know, like serious business in my life. Lord, come and by your spirit, if this is all real, and certainly can change the fact that I'm just a jerk to people, that I don't love people, that I find myself blowing up at little things, that I find myself divided, that I find myself judging others because of the color of their skin or whatever it might be. God, come and do that. And then I believe he's going to do that. And then I make sure I gather in places like this, but not just this. Remember last week we talked about the church is a gathered group of people. It's not an event you come to, but it's a gathered group of people. That's what the word church, ecclesia, means. It's a gathering. So it could be in your home. It could be at Panera. It could be out at the park when we go in a few weeks. That's an expression of the church. And the church just shows us we need one another. And so as much as I need God's spirit to work in me to change those things in my heart, I got a brother or sister who he's working in their heart. And maybe he brought some of that change. And maybe as he brought some of that change, he could bring some wisdom and some knowledge and they can speak life into me. They can be someone who holds up my arms when I just feel like I'm so weak, like I'm going to fall over. They can be that person who is the shoulder that I cry on when I need to just go, and I'm broken. I'm desperate. See, we need each other. That's the whole idea of this thing called the church. We need to be faithful to Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. Now, Paul, again, now listen, he's writing to a messed up group of people. Like I was telling you, there's sexual immorality going on. There's people are getting wasted. All this stuff is happening. And then he's saying things like, well, look at verse 7. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. You are not. I'm not. I may be faithful in some ways, but I'm not always faithful. You might go, I'm pretty faithful to my wife, but how faithful are you to God every day? See, you know, we are growing in our relationship with him, and we are trying to be faithful, but listen, even when you're not faithful, he's faithful. I mean, he loves you. It says, man, you guys have been given every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly await our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed, which I had a lot to say about that, but I don't have a lot of time. But at some point, we got to decide, do we believe this or not, okay? I mean, do we really believe this, or do we come together because this one day a week, as we sing songs, we listen to a guy talk, and we pray a little bit, it makes us feel better about ourselves? I mean, do we really believe this? Do you eagerly await the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do we even think about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? Is it a reality to us? And I think if most of us would be honest, myself included, I go, man, I surely don't think about it as much as I need to because I get so distracted by this world. Because if I really believe that he is coming again and he could come today, tomorrow, it would certainly change the way I live my life. right? Do we believe it? Is this real? Or are these just words that we speak, a tradition that we've held to? And Paul's reminding the Corinthians, he's going, listen, you guys are divided over all this petty stuff, but don't forget, Jesus came, he died on that cross, and he's coming again. Verses 10 to 17, I'm going to read through these and have a couple more things to talk about before we share communion. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Okay? Let me just stop there. He's like, be perfectly united in mind and thought. And in their situation, he's like, some people are following Paul, some Apollos, some Cephas, some are going, I follow Jesus. And he goes, you cannot be divided. The church, the gathered group of believers, have to be united. Love God, love your neighbor, get over it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Some of these things are so petty. It's like, get over it. All right, I'm going to land the plane here in just a minute. So there's this moment where Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. And he knows what's going to happen. He looks at this group of disciples, and he's probably going like, really, Father? Like, these are the ones I'm handing it all off to these guys? Really? I mean, seriously? Because they kept on blowing it. I mean, talk about guys who were just experts at missing the point. I mean, he'd tell them over and over again what was going to happen, and they're like, you know, what are you doing? They questioned Jesus. They didn't understand it. So Jesus has this moment where he's praying to the Father. And he also at that time prays for you and me. I don't know if you knew that, but actually Jesus prayed for you, prayed for me. We have it recorded in John 17. I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. Okay, so he's praying for the disciples, but anybody who would believe in me through their message, that would be all of us and anyone who would believe in the future. Okay? He prays that we would be one just as he and the Father are one. May the church, may the people of God be so unified that it's the same kind of unity that the Father and the Son have. And that we would be in him, he says, so that the world would believe that he was sent by the Father. Okay? Look at verse 22. He keeps, it's this continuation of his prayer. I have given them the glory you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. So he gives us this glory and he gives it to us for a reason, so that we might be one just as he and the Father are one. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given to me to be with me where I am, then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. Look at verse 23. I am in them and you are in me. It's Jesus talking about us. I am in them and you, Father, are in me, Jesus says. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. What the world sees in us, to a large degree, influences what they believe about God. Now just sit on that for a minute. What the world sees in you influences what they believe about God. I mean, that's what Jesus, this was what prayer was. You know, may they be so unified as I live in them and live through them that the world would look on and they would believe that you sent me. Why? Why would the world be in such awe? Because people who once hated each other now love each other. People who were in social, had social status that was so far apart that they never would associate with one another, now not only associate with one another, they sacrifice for one another. See, when the world sees that, they go, what is going on? That doesn't happen. People don't love people that way. What's happening in that place? And there's only one answer. Jesus is happening in that place, right? But if the world looks on and goes, man, those people are some of the most judgmental people I've ever met. They can't even get their own relationship straight. I mean, seriously, the way we live impacts the way people view God. Levi, if you guys will come up. In fact, the way we live can either draw people to the truth in Jesus or repel people. And so, I want you to consider that before God this morning. What's going on in your heart? What are you living for? Is there division between you and a brother or sister? Is there division within your family? Is there division in your heart? Like, division in your heart to the point where I'm so wrapped up in this world that the things of God seem so distant. Maybe that division needs to be reconciled. But the message is, God's the one who reconciles. We sang about it earlier. He's a good, good father. Come just as you are. Bring your mess. Throw it at the foot of the cross and say, God, breathe some life into this. Change this as only you can. Because if we can't get past our petty squabbles, you know, as Christians, or if we're going to let theology, you know, the study of God, divide us, then how are we going to tell the world about this resurrection power that can change everything for you? Can't help me get along with this guy who believes a few things a little different than me, though. What does the world think about that? Paul goes, you know, some of you say you follow Apollos, some Paul. And then we got people going, are you a Calvinist? You follow Calvin? You follow Arminius? Paul's going, stop it. Quit being stupid. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Are you following Jesus? Yeah, study the Bible, do all that stuff, but just be careful that in your study of the Bible that you don't lose Jesus. And examine your heart, like, am I following Jesus? Do I love Jesus? I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to sing a couple songs. Communion is on either side. There's communion in the back as well. We're going to share that in just a moment. I encourage you to go with friends, family, break that bread, take that cup, remember the blood of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. Ask him to breathe that resurrected power into your life. Listen to Paul's words to the Colossians. If you would, just close your eyes. Hear the words of the Lord spoken through Paul. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. You might not feel that, but that's the truth. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any one of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be very, very thankful.